Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, hang up the phone on the Ravens if they don't offer a second-round pick for Melvin Gordon.
All right.
I mean, they're desperate. I mean, do they go Todd Gurley? You know, we were talking Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson. You know, do they go that route, or do they go with a guy that's been in camp, that's ready to roll, you know, in his prime, Melvin Gordon? Second-round pick's a lot to pay.
But a lot to pay.
When you are in, when you have a Super Bowl window, and guess what, Zach? They're a running football team, and we're reacting. The Ravens lost another running back. They've lost three running backs within a week.
Crazy.
Gus Edwards. And so we're kind of talking about, you know, you brought it up last segment. You know, what happens if, should the Broncos entertain trying to trade Melvin Gordon to the Ravens? And I said for a second, you said you'd do it for a third, but I mean, they're Super Bowl window right now, and they're a running football team. So that position's really important to them, more so than the wide receiver position. And you're talking about a guy that's in shape, ready to go, been through training camp. You know, so I'm just like, I don't know if they would do a second-round pick. You know, third round, you're looking at late 90s, 30, 64, you know. You're looking at round 90, the 90th pick.
The top 100 pick?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And if you don't, like the Broncos are not in the Ravens camp right now. Melvin Gordon, so there's a couple of things at play here.
And that's what makes me think, you know, go. But this is what makes me think I might do it for a third.
Because Melvin Gordon is the closest thing to a rental at that position as you're going to find. It was 2 years, close-ended deal. This is going to be it. Melvin will be here for this year. And this is not, this conversation is born out of how highly we think of Melvin. He has value. And this is the last year on a two-year deal. You also simultaneously have a rookie running back that you talk about the eye test. Organization loves him. You hear from Pat Shurmur, you know, creating Saquon Barkley rookie year comps. I mean, the Javonte Williams is the future. Rookie running backs walk in the league and have tremendous success every single year. We had two rookie running backs go for 1,000. Yeah, Kareem Hunt walks in the league as a rookie and leads the league in rushing. I mean, it happens every single. Philip Lindsay, undrafted, back-to-back 1,000 out of the gate. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
So with all those things coming together, does Baltimore entertain something like that? Would the Broncos entertain something like that? I think they would. I think they should. I just wonder if those conversations are actually happening or will actually happen as the, you know, it just, it just right. Happened in Ravens practice here within the hour.
Yeah. You know, and you make great points there, valid points. And it makes me like second guess that I wouldn't do it for a third. Like just give us a third round pick. Okay. That's a premier pick. That's a really good draft pick. And you know what? Those picks help you move up in the draft if you need to move up for a quarterback next offseason. You start accumulating these third rounders, right? I mean, to pair with your first rounders.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's attractive to teams if you're trying to move up. Like, we're using Melvin Gordon for one more year. That's it.
That's it.
Obvious. He's not coming back next year.
Right.
And you free up, you know, whatever, $5-7 million for the year. Give me a third round pick. We'll call it good. I'm kind of starting to maybe go with you on that, Zach. The other thing is, the other twist is they lost a cornerback.
They did.
What do we have excess of?
Corners.
Give us a first. We'll give you Callahan and Melvin Gordon.
Oh.
I mean, have we ever seen a trade like that where it's just like a team loses two guys? Hey, we've got both.
Right.
We've got excess of both.
Right. What do you need? I can help you out. What do you need?
What you need?
Pop the trunk. What do you need? I got it.
Scratching on that. What you need? Huh? Like, you know.
Hey, could, you know, one of our texts said, you know, could it be Royce Freeman? Or could you deal a guy like Royce Freeman?
Royce Freeman's gone, isn't he?
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Trade Royce Freeman. He got cut.
Yes.
He didn't get picked up anywhere. Did he? Let me see.
No.
Panthers, want, Richie said.
They don't want Royce Freeman.
Hey, how about this one? You know who's got an excess of running backs? and has no plans on winning this year. It's like maybe the only team in the league that just has no hope right out of the gate.
Houston.
Houston Texans.
They do. That's right. I wouldn't even, yeah. But
Do you place a call for someone like Philip Lindsay, who is RB2 to Mark Ingram right now? And they also have David Johnson on the roster.
Also, Burkhead was. I don't know if he's still there.
He is.
I don't know if they cut him.
It looks like he is on their depth chart here.
Yeah, whatever. I really don't care about that. I'm talking about the Broncos. I don't care if they call Texans. Doesn't do anything for me.
Why do you hate Phil?
I like the Broncos. I want to talk about the Broncos. What about a cornerback, Zach? Yeah, we're talking about, what about a cornerback? I mean, like, it doesn't just have to be Callahan. Like, you're so high on Pat Surtain. You want Darby? You want Fuller? You know, like, what will you give us for one of those guys? Right?
I love it. I think that conversation's...
I mean, are you going to give us a second for, you know, Ronald Darby now that we know that we have a great one in Pat Surtain? And he can start, you know, from day one, and we can get rid of that contract and get a, you know, second rounder and a fourth rounder or something, you know, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everything's on the table now when you're the Denver Broncos, and this is where the depth comes into play.
Right.
Obviously, you're not giving any of these guys away, but if you can get some premier picks,
your roster's already pretty good. If you were to stockpile picks on top of this roster, I wonder if George Payton's phone is ringing right now from the Ravens, right now. And the ESPN put a piece out this morning saying, you know, it was talking about going around the league and hitting different teams, what to keep an eye out for. Said, keep an eye out for a Broncos trade with a cornerback. So we'll see. Maybe we come in here tomorrow when Darby was traded. Kyle Fuller was traded.
Right. It happens quickly. And the Broncos are in a good position because of the depth that they have. Now, you know, do you want to, you know, George Payton's going all in on this year, but at the same time, he's got to be thinking about the future. You know, you've given Vic enough, even if you traded, you know, Melvin Gordon or one of these cornerbacks, you still are in a good position to go out there and be successful this year. So I think you would be foolish to hang the phone up if they called. Right, I mean, if George Payton, right? You got to have one eye out there, right, on next year and the following year.
Sure.
And if you can help continue to build this thing the right way, then don't ignore it just to win this year. Like you said, Broncos aren't going to the Super Bowl this year. It's not happening.
That conversation would have been in play if Stink delivered Aaron Rodgers on draft night.
Talk to me.
Now it's like, could they be 8-9, 9-8, 8-7? No.
We would not be talking about trading anyone.
Aaron Rodgers, you're like,
thanks.
You're all in.
Right. We're thinking Super Bowl. We're not talking about trading Melvin Gordon or one of these cornerbacks to the Ravens who just lost two of their starters in one day at practice?
Crazy.
Can you imagine that mood in the locker room right now?
No.
Like, just how depressed you are?
And just how probably mortal everyone feels.
I mean, how do the coaches navigate this thing now? Like, you are not putting on pads. I mean, we are having walkthroughs the rest of the year. Like, you can't function like that. But, I mean, imagine being the head coach right now. You are sick to your stomach.
Alumni weekend, 2018.
Is that when B-Shaq busted up? Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was just joking.
Alumni weekend, College of St. Rose, 2018. Gosh. I fly home. Been living out here for like a year. Fly home. All the fellas get together. We're in the warm-up lines. My guy B-Shaq. My guy B-Shaq, who had gained a couple of pounds since the previous time I saw him.
Now, two B-Shaq, times what? 20? Two times 10?
I mean, yeah. He gained
two
probably about 30. 30.
Not two. Not three.
Yeah.
Not four. Not five.
So we're in the and how it works at my college is the alumni play the current team.
Right.
You got these young bulls over there, right? We got these has-beens who are hungover. Right. And B-Shat's like 6'7", though. He goes to dunk after he thinks he's got a lather going.
And this is in warm-ups.
This is in warm-ups, okay? So he leaves off 2 feet. And as he's exploding toward the rim, his ACL bursts. but he had already lifted off of the ground. So his natural human instinct was to grab his knee in the air.
Right.
Well, the other leg's got to come down.
Oh, no.
So his,
what happened to the other leg,
opposite leg,
what happened?
The opposite leg hits first. Now,
oh,
it's
goodness.
Got all this weight to
right.
carry, this
it's
new
got
weight.
Got extra weight, too. Right.
Snapped his leg in half, bone sticking out of his leg. So they're lying before
every time
me.
You tell this story, I cannot stop laughing. I can't help it. I know the ending. It's just the funniest. I just picture it.
The guy laying before me, he did his ACL, right. MCL, and the same knee landed on the opposite leg, compound fracture, bone sticking out of his leg. I've been playing basketball my whole life. I never saw the EMT stick someone with morphine on the gym floor. Hit him with that morphine
oh,
on the gym floor.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Carried out on a stretcher.
Wow. Man, that's not a good way to start off alumni weekend.
No, no.
And we, all right, boys, that's a wrap. We're not playing today.
And we joke around and text renaming it to the Big Bri Memorial game. My guy, Big Bri, B-Shack.
Man.
But I brought that up because when we went to go restart the game after about 20 minutes, we had to get back in warm-ups. No one's feet left the ground.
Yeah.
I mean,
all of
us old guys are like, just don't. To do what Bri just did. Who cares what happens right now?
This is pointless now.
Let's just get out of here healthy so we can go to the bar.
We're not in the hospital
We're not
for
in
a
the
month.
Emergency
and
room.
And on crutches for, you know, three months.
Stokey was in a wheelchair for months.
Poor guy.
I mean, seriously, it was awful.
Oh, my goodness.
It was awful. Thank goodness he made a full recovery
and is living a normal life. We can laugh now.
Oh, my gosh. But you should. That has to be Ravens practice tomorrow.
Right.
Just tiptoeing around, tagging guys off. Just be gentle. Let's get to Monday night and play the Raiders. All right, good times. Why did the name Brandon Stokely come up on the NFL Network's morning show? How about this? It happened again, by God, and we'll play it for you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
So I'm watching the NFL Network earlier this week. It was Tuesday. And Peter Schrager, who does a nice job there, you know, they were talking about week ones. Talking about week, like your favorite week one moment. All right? And Stokely's name came up during the court. Did you see this?
I saw it on Twitter. Yeah, somebody put it out on Twitter. I saw it.
Okay. I put it out there.
Okay.
I put it out there.
Maybe it was you.
I said in my TO voice, that's my co-host.
I didn't see that.
Okay.
did shed a tear?
I had a tear with a smile
there
emoji.
You go. All right.
In TO voice. That's my co-host. You guys do that, man. That's unfair. This is us eavesdropping on Peter Schrager, NFL Network's Good Morning Football.
Peter, I'd like to know your favorite week one moment or game in NFL history.
This is about the announcer more than the receiver. This goes back to 2009. Bengals are playing the Broncos. There is 11 seconds left. One of the best parts about this past weekend was I got two doses of Gus Johnson. But maybe Gus Johnson's best call was Brandon Stokely's fourth quarter touchdown, Broncos Bengals. Mm. Can we get the clip? Yes, we can get the clip. Gus, take it away.
Orton pumps again to the sideline. Batted up. Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable! Oh, my goodness! What a play! 87 yards! Whoa!
Crazy. It still puts a smile on my face when I hear the whole call, because typically we'll only play like
Stokely! Wow!
But they hear the whole call back. It still puts a smile on my face.
And yeah.
I think I saw a smile from across the glass.
Yeah, I just, you know, it brings me back to that moment. Like what I was thinking and, you know, just being there and like ball goes up in the air and like, you know, it's like hitting a lottery.
Right.
Like that stuff just doesn't happen in those situations. Being week one, first game of the year and really fun game and fun way to end it. So yeah, I mean, it always puts a smile on my face. I love it. But Gus is great. The call was just great, and he was so excited. And how he delivered it was just made it even better for me.
Yeah. That was the longest play of your career.
That was it, huh?
87 yards. Yep, the longest play of your career.
How far was the one against the Broncos playoffs?
Was that 2004?
It would be 2004.
I'm seeing here a 67-yard touchdown.
Do they might, maybe they don't have playoffs on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I gotta switch it up. I gotta switch it up, go to playoffs. Okay, here we go. 2004, that was 2003.
2003?
Wow, same exact number.
Same number?
87 yards.
Al Wilson, catch me if you can. Oh, you can't. See ya. Right down the middle of that defense.
Al Wilson.
Right down the middle of that defense.
Try again.
Sorry, Al.
Trying to play cover two. Tampa 2. Al just didn't get out of there quick enough. That was a fun one. That was a fun one also. Peyton had not won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Broncos shelled us a few weeks before, and we came out on a mission, and we punched them in the mouth early and often, and the game was over at halftime. And that was kind of right before halftime, too. I thought we might just kind of run the clock out, and we called that play, and see what happens, and saw the middle of the two safeties just part ways, and the middle field just open. I was just like, I know he's coming to me, and just fast as I could, and there it was, perfect.
You were the leading receiver that day. Wasn't Reggie Wayne, wasn't Marvin Harrison. It was Brandon Stokely, 4 receptions for 144 yards and a pair of tugs.
Just 2 of them things. Let's go. Let's go.
And unfortunately for Broncos country at the time, the score was 41-10. Brock Huard ended up getting reps in that game. No joke.
Did he really?
What's up, Brock?
There you go, Brock. I talked to Brock yesterday and saw him yesterday.
Yeah?
Yes, he is calling the CUA&M game, so we can get him on to chat about that. So he's calling that game. And, it was a little bit too much Brock yesterday for me. I talked to him, thought that was it. Saw him back to school night last night.
Gotcha.
Back to school night.
Gotcha.
So I had to do that.
Love Brock, man.
Committed to that, and you sit in the class and teachers, and you go through all that stuff, and the English teacher gave us stuff to do, like is it whom or is it who?
That had been your nightmare.
Whoa, I was like, Lana, what are you circling there? What are you circling there? No, it was fun. No, we had a blast. We had a blast. It was a lot of fun. But I saw Brock there. So
Brock listens to the show, lives in Denver now.
Yeah.
We love Brock, and we got to have him on this coming week. Richie made a note of it. Break down the quarterback spot. Brock, he was the one. We last time we talked to him, he's like, Teddy Bridgewater's going to get traded to the Broncos, and he's going to end up starting for the Broncos.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. That day, that wild card round back in 2003, 41-10, Peyton threw 5 touchdowns, no picks.
Crazy. Pretty good way to win your first playoff game.
Yep.
That was a fun one. I just remember, just how excited, won a playoff game, played on it was just a fun game, played well,
and when
dad was there,
awesome.
Yeah, it was just really cool walking out of the stadium and the fans, how excited they were. It was a really cool moment I'll never forget.
That is great, man. That is great. And when we had Peyton on, when he went into the Hall of Fame, I said, which is the play with Stokely that sticks out? Like, if you're on your deathbed, what's the lasting memory of Stoke on the field? And I threw him a couple examples. Was it the comeback against the Chargers? Was it when he passed Dan Marino,
49th,
I think. Yeah, the 49th, and you caught that one. And he said it was the wild card in the middle of the field.
That was it, yep.
Stokely for 87-yard touchdown. Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. Love going back, and I think enough time has passed now, Broncos country, to reminisce a little bit about that for Stoke. And to the back to the Cincinnati play, the tip, what do they call that? What's the name
Immaculate
of that?
Deflection.
Immaculate deflection. Is that the play that you get asked about the most?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people, especially around here, remember the 49th touchdown. That was so long ago. The record's been broken, a few times now. Super Bowl touchdown, I was with Baltimore. That was like 40 years ago. Nobody really remembers that a lot anymore. A few people do, but ultimately it's the tip pass.
I love it.
Because that play gets shown a lot, you know, like it did on the NFL Network.
Yep.
The first game of the season, Gus Johnson, you know, the call. It's just so that play does get shown a lot more than any of the other ones.
Yep, like on the amazing finishes and stuff like that. And there was no touchdowns. Like, it wasn't some barn burr. The final score was 12-7. Sounds like a Coors Field over, right?
That's right.
12-7.
Missed on that yesterday, by the way. I don't know what happened. I was like, okay, I got this thing wrapped up and Rockies decided to score runs there at the end. I had the under.
I just
10.5.
Yeah.
How'd they get to 11? How'd they get to 11? I don't know.
The bullpen. I just needed them to win. They gave up like four runs in.
What do you mean?
They gave up four runs in the ninth.
Oh.
Rockies gave up four runs in the ninth. They were winning.
Rockies lost?
Yes.
They lost?
They got swept at home by the Giants.
I didn't know they lost.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even look at that. I lost the over. I thought the Rockies had seven.
No.
What?
No, the bullpen gave up four in the ninth.
Well, that makes sense now. That makes more sense. I didn't look at the box score, Zach. I looked at my ticket. And it said, you know,
you lost.
And I said, what happened? I saw 7-4. I said, oh my gosh, the Rockies must have got a few late runs there. Oh no.
No. They had a lead into the ninth inning.
Oh, and we let them off the hook.
Let them off the hook. Scored four runs in the ninth.
Wow.
Screwed me.
See, I'd be really upset if my over season total for the Rockies was not going to cash for sure. They can't screw that up.
No.
Just need two wins.
Nope. Need two more wins.
All right. They lost.
They lost. Yeah. Got swept at home.
Didn't know that.
Home Rockies did their impression of the road Rockies.
Yeah. Now we're going to Philly.
Yep.
Tonight.
That's right. All right. Tampa Bay, the reigning Super Bowl champs, will have their cleats on the grass against the Dallas Cowboys. I put together a preview for us, what you need to know about Thursday Night Football coming up next.
Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Much better. Much better. See, this, you know, we can get some of that Queen, get some of this, Pearl Jam, Zach Brown, Nirvana, J. Cole, you know, Tupac Biggie, not Lil' Kim. Okay, we got a lot better options than Lil' Kim. Just saying.
I'm so glad that football's back, Stoke.
It's here.
It's here. High school football, college football, professional football. And I can't wait for this Bucks-Cowboys game. Here's just a quick snapshot of some notes that I took. Do you mind?
Oh.
Quick preview on tonight's game.
Oh, you took notes on tonight's game? Okay, yeah. What do you got?
Just a couple quick hitters. Tampa Bay. Okay. Trying to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champ since 2003-2004 Patriots. And who would have thought it'd be the same quarterback nearly two decades later trying to pull off what he did, you know, 17, 18 years prior. The Bucs are the first Super Bowl team to return all 22 starters from both a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense and all the coaches. Very rare. I mean, there's no other example like it, Stoke. To say they have continuity, it's with a capital C. Ezekiel Elliott trying to rebound from a career low 979 yards. The problem is, Bucks were the number one rushing defense in 2020.
Oof.
Bad matchup out of the gate for Zeke.
Yeah, and Zach Martin, one of the best linemen, COVID out. Ugh.
Yes, they got a third-year player named Connor McGovern. Not our old Connor McGovern.
No.
He came out of Penn State, so they got a backup playing guard. Dan Quinn, new defensive coordinator, former Falcons coach.
Yeah.
Leading up that Dallas defense, replacing Mike Nolan. We got the debut of Micah Parsons tonight.
Ooh,
what number
right.
12 overall. By the way, Cowboys drafted 8 out of their 11 players on the defensive side of the ball. He was their first selection. And how about this for a stat? Tom Brady was 22 years old when Micah Parsons was born. And they're going to share the same field tonight.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? 22 years old when Micah Parsons was born.
Crazy.
Crazy. And I just can't believe that Tom Brady is still doing his thing the way that he is. He turned 44 years old in camp. Tom Brady, I said this to you earlier in the show and tweeted this yesterday. Tom Brady has seen 5 U.S. presidents come into the White House since he came into the league. And 2 of them got reelected. It's insane. Elvis Presley was still doing live shows when Tom Brady was born in 1977. when Tom Brady was born, Jimmy Carter was handing out pardons for people who skipped out on the Vietnam draft. Mm. Like, that was happening when Brady was born. He's going to play in a professional football game tonight. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, remarkable. Really is remarkable what he's been able to accomplish. They're still doing it at a high level. That's the thing. He's not just playing. Playing at a high level. So
reigning Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah. Had a great year last year. And they are loaded again this year. What do you think? Do you think the Bucs blow them out? You think it's a close game? Like Mike McCarthy? Is it Mike McCarthy or Mike McCartney?
McCarthy.
Do you think Mike McCarthy bounces back this year and starts it off with a bang, with an upset win over the Bucs, or do you think it's blowout city, game one?
I think the Bucs are going to win this football game. I think they're going to win by double figures. Yep. I think they're going to win. I think Tampa wins by, I'll say, I'll go 31. I say double figures, and then when I go give you a score, I'll go 31-24. They don't win by double figures. 31-24. Dallas covers, Tampa wins.
And then tomorrow you're going to say you said they won by double figures.
Save the audio.
Yeah. I do think it's going to be double digits. I think it's going to be a double digit. I think they come out, they're on fire, they pick up where they left off. You know, Dak, I think he's a little bit rusty. I mean, he didn't play in a preseason game. He got hurt early last year. Obviously, we all remember that. Didn't throw much in camp. Limited with the shoulder. Didn't play in a preseason game. I just think there's some rust there. You're missing your best offensive lineman, or one of your best offensive linemen. That Bucs defense is real, and I think they come out and
hit him in the mouth.
Yeah, double digits.
Okay, so we agree.
Some what? Huh? I like the way you did that.
All right.
But it's here.
It's here, man.
And we'll see what the Bucs look like to start the season. I'm expecting them. I mean, look, they got all their guys coming back. And like you said, too, all their coaches coming back, which is doesn't happen.
This time last year, Brady, you know, didn't know where the restroom was.
Yep.
Brady walked into someone's house accidentally thinking it was Byron Leftwich's house. That was going on a year ago. And now, after winning a Super Bowl, coming on late, everyone's coming back. I mean, golly.
If they stay healthy, it's going to be tough to knock them out, knock them off. Brady stays healthy. He was dealing with a knee last year, too.
Yeah.
That obviously wasn't ideal for him and has been talked a lot about since that, you know, he got that fixed. He feels so much better. So it'll be a fun game to watch. Like you said, we'll be watching Michael Parsons. And you know, kind of keeping an eye on him because that was one of the guys, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, do you take him? Do you take Surtain if you go defense or do you go quarterback? But certainly Micah Parsons was in the conversation. And he's gotten off to it's been a fast start there in camp, you know.
Yep.
All rave reviews there, all check marks there, just like Surtain has here. So, you know, that'll be another name that we follow for the next few years.
No doubt about it. Texans trading Bradley Roby to the Saints today. Did you see that? In exchange for a third-round pick and a conditional pick, both in 2023. Texans paid $7 million of Roby's salary this season, and Saints will pay the remaining $1.8 million.
Okay, huh. And they got a third-round, but they got a premium pick.
True.
Yep. So they're paying most of the money. Saints are, you know, sending over a premium pick and okay.
And the big news out of Baltimore today, it really just Gus Edwards, who's the backup for J.K. Dobbins at the running back spot, suffers a season-ending ACL tear during practice, and in the same practice, Marcus Peters suffers a torn ACL. Just a worst-case scenario for the Baltimore Ravens.
I mean, just awful. I mean, you lose, you know, two of your probably, you know, 10 best players on your team in a practice week before your first game. I mean, 4 days before your first game, whatever.
Worst case.
Yeah, just awful news for them. But this is what, you know, Broncos were hit with it last year with Von Miller, you know, a week or so before the first game when he went out for the year.
It happens. You just keep your fingers crossed. You know, you can't bubble wrap everybody and just go out there and not do anything. You got to practice. You got to, you know, get physical and do those types of things. It's football. You keep your fingers crossed that no one gets hurt. And the Ravens have been hit hard, and they've been really, really unlucky when it comes to injuries.
Yeah. Gus Edwards just signed a 3-year deal for about $12.5 million. That included $11 million fully guaranteed in June.
Yeah.
And Marcus Peters signed a 3-year, $42 million deal that included $42 million deal that included $32 million in guaranteed money at the end of the 2019 season. So a lot of money on the shelf. A lot of money on the shelf.
Le'Veon Bell there, you know, former Pittsburgh Steeler, now in Baltimore. You know, does he have an impact this year? He's kind of been non-existent the last couple of years, last 3 years, coupled with the Jets, with Kansas City last year. I mean, so can he resurrect his career there in Baltimore? You know, big rival of the Steelers. You know he'd love nothing more than to do that. But he's going to have a great opportunity to do it.
Yep. And then the last note on the way out here, Steelers and T.J. Watt have agreed on a record-breaking contract. 4 years, $112 million.
Wow.
New highest-paid defensive player in the league. Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Really good player.
Yep. All right. Have a great rest of your afternoon, Parker.
You too, buddy.
All right. Shout out Richie Carney, our producer behind the glass. We step aside for The Drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.